God is doing things last few days. Wow. So I'd like to have Pastor Mark run the microphone a little bit. First subject was the morning message. Anybody have a testimony? The morning message. Half you. Come on. You weren't even here, were you? The morning message on the whims, living by whims or living by God's mind. It was a great morning. Really, it was an awesome time. Nick Grunwald, you're awesome, and your wife. What's her name again? No, I thought about you guys this morning. Thank God for you. You're precious, really. We love you. All right, testimony on the morning message. It's a short one or two sentences. I can help you. Andy?
So this morning, a verse for me before coming in to service was Psalm 25 verse, or Proverbs 25:8. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And I was thinking about how a lot of people have a spiritual bondage, like the woman you referenced from the Gospels being bent over, and how when we, just the thought that, wow, that we could have rule over our own spirit, which gives us the ability to govern our lives properly, like in a godly manner.
Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah. Wow.
Just that the woman received her healing in the church, and we don't know how long she had continued to go, but at some point in time, she received her healing.
Yeah. Well, I can't help but just comment on it also, because the woman in Luke 13 who was bent over like a hairpin, I mean, she was really bent over. She went to the synagogue, and we said, you know, what would keep you from going to the church? Where I could say, I'm bent over, I can't go to the church, I'm ashamed. Where God has never healed me, this is a bondage to me. I'm not going to go there. I'm disappointed. God is not showing up for me. I have a problem. Nobody cares about me, or something like this. Well, how easy it would be to check out and say it won't mean anything. But 18 years later, she meets Christ in the synagogue, and he heals her. And after she's healed, the leadership is unhappy about it. That's the kind of church you don't want to go to. But the leadership is saying to Jesus, you can heal on 6 days of the week, but not on this Sabbath day, remember? Like, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. So, but no, what would keep me from living in faith and believing that God has something for me? So that was that. Okay. I'm going to sit over here and be quiet. You guys, minister, now here's the thing. Here's a couple more. Number one, the round table last night was a great success. 30 people, standing room only, great fellowship, great. Anybody was there? Was anybody there? Okay. Testimony on that one. Number two, did anybody see the work of God happen this week? God is working. What did God do this week? And give a short testimony, one or two sentences. Yeah, so, and then lastly, the water baptism this morning. Boy, I think there were seven people. One guy at the 11 o'clock service, I said, anybody here want to get water baptized? The guy from the crowd here said, yeah, I do. So he came right up and we put him right under. Clothes on and all. He just went right into it. He said, I'm not afraid. That's what he said. Okay, run the mic.
His last few weeks, had a chance to interact with a young man who grew up in the church here. He lost both his parents suddenly in less than a year. And in the scramble around his family, he ended up in prison. And it wasn't from bank robbery or hurting the innocent. He became a violent person. And he was very angry. And I'm sure he never thought about it, but a lot of it has to do with anger with God, because we can't find out the ways of God. He told us, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and who knows. But at either rate, we were working together this week, and he looked at me and he said, I'm going to go to Bible college. I'm going to go. I knew his mother and father well, and I'm sure they were on the edge of a cloud when they heard that. But his mother had a beautiful smile on her face, and I'm just really happy for him because of how far God's brought him in a short period of time. So that's my testimony.
Yeah, yesterday on outreach, we met this dear family here from Syria, and knocked on the door. They invited us right in, made us tea. Like, the last time I had a cup of tea like that was in Morocco. So made us a delicious cup of tea, was very polite, and we asked them if they would like to come to church, and no hesitation, and they're here tonight. And that's Mustafa, and his son is upstairs interpreting for everybody, and that's his mom, Arifo. Yeah, it's just a pleasure to have him here tonight.
I'm teaching in the Sunday school fifth grade, and we had like five new kids in the fifth grade this morning, and we're teaching on the life of Paul, and I taught them what the Great Commission is and what the gospel is. And afterwards, when, you know, there's always parents late picking up their kids. So one little girl stayed a little longer, and it was her first time. And I asked her if she learned anything in the class that was new today. She said she usually goes to another church. And she said, yes, I learned that you can still be a sinner and still go to heaven.
My husband and I, we went last night, and it was such an amazing, amazing time. And the place was packed. There was not one table that was empty. But we sat with Adam and Anastasia and Lizzie and her husband, and we all shared at the table. But I was, because we were married the longest, and we were sharing the things that we went through, so I shared part of my testimony. But Dave also shared how deep he had to go to find God and to look at his wife and just pray for me, because it wasn't an easy task for Dave to go through. But he stood there and he just clung to God's words, and he clung to church, and he just kept encouraging me. And he shared this with the couples, and they were so blessed. And we all had a great time.
I have a testimony about healing. For the past 2.5 years, I've been struggling. You know, the main thing was fatigue, like, and I've been going to the hospital, and they ran all kinds of tests, and most of the tests comes out negative, but I'm thankful to God for it being negative. But then there is the other side that, you know, like, really wears me down, like, why, you know, God, what is wrong? And there are a few people in the body of Christ who knew what I was going through, and they were friends to me. But one of the greatest things God taught me was not to be familiar, like, with anybody that God brought my way. And God brought so many people on my way, and they tell me, do this and do that. And I would try some, it would work a little bit, then it stopped. And it was really, like, frustrating. But just 3.5 months ago, I was diagnosed with H. pylori, which some people know is a bacteria in the stomach. And they gave me antibiotics for 2 weeks. I took it, and I felt like a weight has been lifted off my shoulder. And I was so thankful to God. But that wasn't the end. Like, I wasn't, like, super strong. But God kept bringing into my remembrance things that people taught me to do. And with that, like, it add, like, today I'm strong and I'm able to work. I'm able to cook. I'm able to take care of my family. And I'm so thankful to God for healing me, but also I'm thankful to God for teaching me not to be familiar with people, because if I were not to listen, maybe I would have been strong, but I wouldn't be able to do other things. Therefore, in the body of Christ, when the Bible says every joint supply, is true. Like, and I work at a place, you know, AWC, for 3 weeks. And I was so thankful to God. Like, I didn't know. I knew I'm a Christian. I knew I'm secure in Christ. But I think also it's familiarity. We don't value what we have till we step out there. There was so many temptations here and there. But I keep seeing God glorifying himself, God doing so much through me that I'm like, just being here for 6 weeks, I've seen the beauty of Christ through me. And I stand here to glorify God and say thank you.
Okay, so to finish this, just you, you know that verse where, like, every place the sole of your foot is on, you know, I just tell a story, like, you don't know the blessing that you bring by association, because we have this bakery that we have our Bible study at. You can probably tell by looking at how much some of us have. Anyway, they have amazing marshmallow donuts, but this bakery got a... you know, Matt Clark, I lay this all at Matt Clark, because Matt, like, prays when we Bible study. He says, bless this business, and so thankful that we're with us. Bless this business. And they got a 2,000 pie order from Amazon. So they are so happy. So I just tell you, where you have your Bible study, you may be helping their business. That's it.
Okay, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is a message on living by living in faith. put a 2,000 pie order on Amazon that they did not ever get that before. Is that right? They never got that before. It's brand new, and it's because Pastor Steve is praying for them. Huh? What do you think about that? We were at Uricon, and a woman came, and she couldn't have children. She went to Pastor Steve. He prayed for her. The next year, she came back. She said, I had twins. And she said, you know, I don't want you to pray for me anymore. Right? Nobody else has gone to him for prayer for that reason. Okay, that's a true story. God's work. I mean, the room is filled with things that we could say we have heard or experienced in the last weeks. God is moving because he answers prayer. God is moving because we have focus and we are people of faith. In this story in 1 Kings, in chapter 18, we see Elijah as a mighty man. Remember in James chapter 5, if you could put this on the screen, I'm using the King James tonight. It says here, verse 17, Elias, that's the Greek way of using it, right, spelling the name Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. What's another way of saying that? Anybody? Elijah was, what's that? A man, what's that? Another way of saying that. Ask your neighbor because they're smarter than you are. Go ahead. What does it mean? What? Go ahead, you can do that. I'll go over here and get the answer over here. Okay, he was just like us? Oh, okay. Was a man with a nature like ours. Okay. What is that one? In the English Standard? American Standard? Okay. You know what it means? That Elijah was emotional, just like you and I are. So we go back to the text, 1 Kings 18. He called fire down. And then in 19, verse 1 and 2, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. What did she do? Sent an email? Sent a posted letter? No. A messenger went to Elijah, and this is what he said. So let the gods do to me and more also if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Who said it? Jezebel said it through the messenger. You're toast. You are done. You're going to be killed. Just like my prophets were killed. You're done. You're finished. And what did Elijah do? Verse 3. When he saw that, he arose, went for his life, and came to Beersheba. Okay. Whims that happens to people. We had the list of synonyms today that we used to describe the word. We have fancy, impulse, urge, craze, passion, bent, inclination, fickleness, volatility. There are people that make major decisions based on a reference that is very small. My emotions. I didn't get enough sleep last night, so I make a major decision on a whim. We had three categories this morning. One was finances. I buy and sell, or I do business on a whim. Number two, social media, communication, telephone. Groucho Marx said, I've gotten a great education by having television. When anybody turns it on, I go to the other room and read a book. Okay. It's amazing how people will post a picture on social media that they're going to have to live with the rest of their life. It's stupid. But they do it on a whim. They send an email or they post an opinion. They're in a Starbucks on their computer. They're feeling pretty high and mighty, pretty capable. They're like the Apostle Paul in their ideas, in the way they think so highly of themselves, and then they're critical of their brothers and sisters, and they have an opinion, and they are doing it on a whim. They had too many cups of coffee. They're too big for their own britches. They could be arrogant and proud, critical, and they pollute the hearts and minds of people with their criticism and their spirit, like when the spies went into the land and they gave their report, God was angry about it. When Job's three friends gave counsel to Job, God was saying, you guys are, I am angry with you. Wise up. Know that everything you are saying on the social media and all those pictures and everything that you are doing, I mean, you're chronicling a private life. Why are you doing it? There needs to be, you know, some thought in it. I saw a YouTube video of a guy in Sweden on a 15-meter diving board, and these people are just public, normal people, and they go up, they have an opportunity to jump off. 15 meters is 45 feet, and they come up to the edge, and there's a camera there. It's like catching all of it, candid. And I'm watching the people and how they're reacting to it. There has to be thought about jumping off a cliff, jumping out of an airplane, jumping off a diving board, starting a business, having a friendship with an attractive woman or some guy somewhere. There needs to be some way that I process and relate to what it is that I'm doing, because I cannot live on a whim. I have to make decisions way back here in my meditation. I have a list of words here on being thoughtful, reflective, meditative, contemplative, attentive, caring, deep, serious, prudent, careful, and cautious. I'm wondering what Elijah should have done if he had his wits about him, that if he had the Holy Spirit speaking to him, if he had some meditation there, having received the threat from Jezebel, how he could have processed it, right? That's what we are laboring for. To watch, give heed, understand, like see through the threat. I could care less. She's a queen, but God is protecting me. God is bigger than her threat. God is bigger than this problem. That's okay. I'm relating to God. But he is like us, man of like passion or feeling. And so he ran. He panicked. He ran. I think we all could say, I know that feeling. I know what that is. On a funny note, I was in Finland many years ago. I did a Bible study with these medical students, and we were walking out, dark out, wintertime, snow on the ground, and I just picked up a wet snowball, and I wanted to throw it at the pole, and I threw it, and it went way over there, right through a window. Way, it just shattered glass. I mean, a wet, soaking wet snowball. I mean, like a missile went right through the, and I went like this, you know, to run away. And these Finnish people, of course, are standing there. Very responsible. He did it. I don't mind being, I'm not talking about being spontaneous. Remember when Peter walked on water, he did not walk on water on a whim. But he was spontaneous because it was Christ that called him to walk on the water. And he went out there and had the experience of a lifetime. A whim, what we mean is that people do things without thinking about it, where it will bring me, what it will mean, how much trouble could I get into, where it will take me, how one thing can lead to another. Well, the book of Proverbs is about that kind of wisdom. Okay. In closing, verse 4. In closing is about 30 minutes from now. Verse 4. Notice. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take away my life. I am not better than my fathers." I don't know why he was comparing himself to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and his fathers. I don't know why the comparison, but that's what happens. When God uses you, you may be comparing yourself and have a reference, and in that comparison, you find yourself lacking. I am a coward. I want to die. Verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again, went back to sleep. Got up, ate, went back to sleep. The angel of the Lord came again the second time, verse 7, touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Amen. The journey is too great for thee. It really is. The Christian life is too great for me, really. What we do in our lives, really, it's too great for any of us. It's too great for us to live a righteous life, to live in faith and find God's grace. It is great. It's amazing. And the angel said, you know, like ministering to him and understanding he's an emotional man, understanding his disappointment and his discouragement, and maybe that kind of empty or shallow thing that happens to every one of us when we hear bad news. We kind of collapse on the inside. We get depressed, maybe go to sleep, maybe eat more, go wake up, go back to bed, because we are depressed and discouraged. The Lord is so good. He says, "It's okay. The journey is too great for you. But I care about you. I want to minister to you." You know, so that's it. Verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. You know how long spiritual food can last? When you get spiritual food, how many years it can take you? Do you know how long you and I can serve God when we're getting spiritual food and it's going to take us? I remember when we were in Finland and I told they wanted to know where I came from, where we came from as a team. Where are you from? Where are you coming from? We said, we're from The Bible Speaks. Well, what is that? Well, that's our church in Maine. Okay, why did you come here? To preach the gospel. Well, who is your pastor? What theology do you follow? Are you a cult or a sect or something? Where are you from? You're from America, so there must be something strange about you guys. And we said, you can come to America and meet our pastor. You can come to America and meet our church. We would like you to come and hear the preaching and open your Bible and take out of the Bible the things that we are saying. Well, come on over. Let's do it. And in 1979, we chartered an airplane, and 127 people came to Lenox. And we rented buses, and we even took all of them to Rome, New York, to meet my mom and dad. We did. And we preached in Franklin Park in the city of Rome, and my dad was so excited. He got the barbecue out and all these things. He goes, who are these people? They're from Finland. Where's that? We had an amazing time. Okay. Why do I say that? I love the orientation of the ministry. The ministry, the orientation is openness. That in this picture, the angel gave food, and that food gave Elijah the strength to go as an honest man in the way of God and to find the grace of God. And he went down to Horeb, and he was looking for God. And he wasn't in the earthquake or in the wind. He was in the still, small voice, and he found God. And I love it that we have nothing to hide, nothing to hide in our lives. We are open books and we are saying, come and see. Remember when they met Jesus the first time, they said, where do you dwell? And he said, come and see. We could say, open and read. How about obey it? When you obey it, you'll find the Spirit of God with you in your life. When you obey it, you sing, Jesus is real. God is real. That's what this world is lacking. The reality of God. You know, they talk about God, but do they have the reality of God? They say, I believe in Jesus, and many Christians do it too. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, okay, you believe in Jesus, but has Jesus been showing up? Has Jesus been anointing you? Has Jesus been answering prayer? Has Christ been motivating you? Have you been moved by the Spirit of God in your life? That's it. But when we live by our whims and feelings and notions and impulses, you know, he hurt me. Or, you know, I don't understand that. I'm confused. Or, you know, I don't want to go there, or I don't want to do this, or I don't understand, I'm all confused. Like Elijah was frightened by the message from Jezebel, and he wanted to check out the opposite, which should happen. I'm in the fight, I'm in the battle, I got the doctrine. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, bring it on, Jezebel. Come on, bring it on, whatever country you are in, Europe or in the world or Egypt or Afghanistan or Pakistan. There's nothing to hide here. There's only the presence of God that you and I are part of. We get into that doctrine. We get into that faith. We get into that love, and we'll not be ashamed. And so this is what happened here. Let me just say in closing, Peter did not walk on water by a whim. Christ called him. Paul did not go to the mission field on a whim. The church prayed and fasted, laid their hands on them, and sent them out by the Spirit. Timothy didn't go to Bible school on a whim. Timothy had to work on the thing and figure it out and say, I am the disciple of the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to do this and believe this because God says it in his word. I'm going to build my life on what he is saying, not on a whim. People jump in bed with a stranger on a whim. They jump off a cliff on a whim. They spend money on a whim. But we are people that have been visited by God, and we want to build our life on something deeper, and sometimes it hurts. Christ said, if you do what I say, you'll build your house on a rock, and it will not fall down. It'll stand. And then the church is not built on a whim. It's built on Christ. And we have believed it and embraced it, and the whole ministry worldwide imagined greater grace. That people listen to these messages, that people walk in faith, they look up to you as examples of faith, people that go to church services and they live by faith and they serve in their ways that God has called them into. And we are doing this and we recognize the value of it and we see the influence of it in training people and saying, this is how a church service should go. A church service should go this way. That it isn't too long, it isn't too short. We want money, but we're not after money. We're after people's hearts. We have preaching, and yet we're not falling asleep, but we want to hear a passionate, convicted, persuasive message. And for people like Pastor Ronaldo and Charity and Linda to be part of a team that go and take the message out there. Yeah. Lastly, Christ is coming back, but not on a whim, but in a plan. It's going to happen. It's surer than the little green apples falling from the tree. It's surer than anything that is on this earth. It's even greater than, it says, the Bible, the Word of God, cannot pass away. Heaven and earth pass away before this would ever pass away. Not one little letter of this amazing book. This is for sure. And when we are embracing it and building our life on it, then we'll not be ashamed. And tomorrow night, Monday nights, every Monday night, we have an ABD class with a tape on Thursday and Friday. And Monday night, I teach for an hour live every Monday that I am here. And it's open. And you can come in if you want to on a Monday night at 6 o'clock and hear and get a message and take a hold of something and get it. Oh, it's good. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you tonight. The Finns came here not on a whim, but God, you directed them. Missionaries have gone out on the field because they were sent. People are giving in the offering not on a whim, but because of the doctrine. And you have visited our families and visited us and helped us just like you did Elijah. And he got established in what you had for him, just like us being established in what you have for us. These testimonies we heard, the things that we see at the convention in June, the calls on the radio, the classes, the outreach, the Midnight Express, the souls that are getting saved every week, the care for people that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the real answer for people. We will build our life on that, on the basis of what you have said. We'll operate by faith in what you have said. We'll live from faith to faith, and we'll honor you in what it is that you are doing. And you will give us the grace for it. Thank you, Lord. Bless our prayers this week, God. Answer our prayers, God. Bless our people. Bless Bob Schwartz, Paul Poe, Drew Wilczek. Thank you for Annette. We pray for Chris Moore, Ken Fires, Tom and Lygia, Pastor Rhonda Lewis, Kevin Lewis, Ray Kosiolik, Bruce Wright, Kim Shibley. Lord, your power of your blessing on Sterling Johnson, by Mark Benoit, Bailey Norman, up in Maine, Montreal, Toronto, Lord. God, we pray in Jesus' name. And then anyone here tonight who's not a believer, turn to Jesus tonight. Turn to Jesus tonight and tell somebody about it. Say yes to Jesus. Tell somebody about it. I believe in Jesus. And follow Jesus and trust in Jesus. He will answer your prayer. He forgives you of your sin. He forgives you. He fills you with the Spirit. He guides and leads you in your life of faith. He opens the Bible up to you and he baptizes you into the body of Christ. Christ loves you. God loves you. Believe in him tonight. In Christ's name, amen.